of this nation, of this country, of these lands, I think we owe them a great deal, both past and present. But we also owe you a great deal for sharing your time today.
Oh, no, not at all.
I'm very, very grateful for the work that you do, the work that you've done, the work that you've shared with us today. Thank you very, very much. And I want to thank Shauna Muckle, our intern, for some excellent research. And don't forget to give us some feedback on our website, insidewashco.org.
Thank you for listening to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. Go to our website, insidewashco.org, to contact us or leave comments on this interview. This series is produced by Rick Paulson.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Next up, we have WINGS, the Women's International Network Gathering Services, followed at 10 by Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein.
Tribes aren't just getting these things for nothing. They got these things because they gave up the United States. That's what they gave up. And that's what...
Today on WINGS, Climate Rebellion Strategies.
Most of you have never lived at a time when wars weren't about oil. The climate movement and the anti-war movement must move as one.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to WINGS, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Let's start with a nod to Our Children's Trust, the organization pursuing a lawsuit against the U.S. government for endangering children's future by failure to take climate action. On Friday, January 17, 2020, a three-judge panel of the Federal Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in Oregon ruled 2-1 that the courts had no authority in this matter. It could only be dealt with by Congress and the President. Previous court decisions had said the case could proceed. Lead attorney Julia Olson told the press that this fight is not over. The young plaintiffs are asking the decision be reviewed by all 9 judges of the appeals court. One way to lay responsibility at the feet of Congress is to get arrested for blocking the Capitol steps. Jane Fonda and a host of others did that each week from October 11, 2019 through January 10, 2020. Fire Drill Fridays paid tribute to student climate strikes across the world. They featured teach-ins and rallies on urgent actions to halt climate crimes and support for a Green New Deal. At the final Fire Drill Friday in Washington, the topic was holding fossil fuel companies accountable. Here are excerpts from some of the speakers as recorded by Esther Iverum, host and producer of the Pacifica radio series On the Ground, Voices of Resistance from the nation's capital.
Let's show our support to the young students who have been sacrificing so much to protest in favor of their future. Okay, so what's in store for the climate movement in 2020? As you all know, we cannot burn all of the coal, the gas, the oil that's in the ground. We cannot burn it all and stay within the parameters of what science tells us we must do. We have to cut our fossil fuel emissions by 50% in 10 years. That is a massive undertaking, and we can't do it if the fossil fuel industry keeps expanding. So, why are fossil fuel companies continuing to expand? Why are they still drilling and fracking and mining? And why are the big Wall Street banks and other international financial institutions still helping them drill and frack and mine and process and export? It's called suicide investing. It's insane. And one of the worst offenders is JP Morgan Chase. It's one of the largest sources of capital to the fossil fuel industry and their quest to drill and frack and mine. And we cannot let Chase and other financial institutions continue this way. Extractions can't expand, but the movement has to expand.
Jane Fonda. The next speaker was Naomi Klein, whose 2019 book is titled On Fire, The Burning Case for a Green New Deal.
Everywhere we look, it's just business as usual. It's that suicide investing. It's pretending that the world is not on fire because, of course, the arsonists are in charge, right? The arsonists are in charge in Washington. They're in charge of the banks. They're certainly in charge at the fossil fuel companies. And so it takes a movement. It takes individuals trusting their gut, trusting their hearts, that actually we know what's right. And then we have to find each other, because this isn't something that we're going to solve as individuals. We are not going to win the world that we need for ourselves, for our kids, if we kind of sort of want a Green New Deal. We have to be on fire for it. We have to get in touch with the life-giving and healing power of fire. Indigenous peoples have always used fire to tend to the land, right? So we need to be that fire, and we need to clear away the dead wood and make room for new growth. And that's what the Green New Deal is all about. A lot of us are going to get arrested today. But let us remember that we are not the criminals. The criminals are the people who are letting this world burn for money. Those are the criminals. And we are going to clear away all of the debris of the climate change deniers funded by fossil fuel money. We are going to clear away the debris of the distractors telling us everything else is more important. Trump's latest tweet, the royal family's fashions, all of that. Clear away that debris. Then we're going to clear away the debris of the doomers, the ones who are telling us it's all too late and we may as well just kind of relax and watch the world burn because they think they're going to be safe. And most of all, we're going to clear away the debris of the dividers, and we're going to build the most united and powerful movement that we have ever seen. The climate strikers in the UK, they have this slogan. They say, Greta was the spark, but we are the wildfire. And that's what we need to be. We need to be the wildfire. Thank you. Thank you, Naomi.
Naomi Klein. The next speaker at this Fire Drill Friday was a full-time student of Indigenous law and a frontline environmental and social justice grassroots activist, fighting against the Keystone XL pipeline, Dakota Access pipeline, and uranium mining in her ancestral homelands.
Kamadakiapi, Chante Wasteun Nape Chiyuzahapi, Lakotia Tashina Sapawi Machiapi. Hello, my relatives. My Lakota name is Black Shawl Woman. I am from the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation. My mother and father's names are White Mountain Woman and Smoke Spice. My grandmother's name is Yellow Star Woman, and I am a descendant of Chief Gall. It is no secret that my people endured violent repercussions for standing peacefully unarmed in 2016 against the Dakota Access Pipeline in Standing Rock. We saw relatives nearly lose eyes and limbs with the use of non-lethal weapons by the state. We've seen the lengths to which the state will go to protect their profit. Or in my case, being viciously mauled by an attack dog from an illegally permitted private security firm that was on the ground. And right now, my ancestral homelands are facing yet another threat the Keystone XL pipeline, which will snake right underneath the Cheyenne River, for which my tribe is named. Man camps are being constructed as we speak, and I'm not too sure if you all know what man camps are, but they are camps in which house the thousands of workers that will be completing the pipeline. One is right next to our reservation border. Now, the thing about man camps is when they're constructed, the rates of missing and murdered Indigenous people skyrocket, and drugs become bountiful. And I see this as no coincidence. We're living in a time where across the globe, millions of people are standing up for their right to human survival, the right for clean air, clean water, clean earth, and to save the very ecosystems that are collapsing right now due to the environmental destruction we've created. We will no longer stand by the decisions made by our world leaders for the sole purpose of profit. Rise up, my brothers and sisters. Rise up and stand against 1 million species extinction. Rise up and stand with the original caretakers of these lands, the Indigenous people. And protect human survival for the next 7 generations.
Tasina Sapa Wynn Smith. Tara Hauska is a tribal rights attorney and the National Campaigns Director for Honor the Earth.
I know I'm supposed to yell about corporations and their destruction and oppression all over the globe, but the last time I was here, speaking behind a rally podium similar to this one, I came from a resistance camp in Standing Rock. I came from seeing my friends tear gassed, maced, bitten by dogs. I came from being arrested and put into a dog kennel. I came from watching cops chase Indians on horses across the plains, shooting at them. History happening again and again. And this time around, I'm coming from a resistance camp in Minnesota, where I've been living 200 yards off a proposed pipeline route that wants to go through my people's territory, through our sacred wild rice. So Line 3 hasn't started bulldozing yet, but they're set to get their final permits in the next couple weeks. And they've been busily arming themselves to the teeth in northern Minnesota, which is really crazy to see. And so my message isn't for the system of corporations. With a foundation of slavery and genocide, can we all, like, point that out? Yes. It's not for the companies that are killing our kids' futures for the profit. It's for us. My message is for all of us. We have power. We have so much power. They pull out their tanks when we stand unarmed in front of their machines because they are afraid of us. They use water cannons and attack dogs when we say no with our bodies because they are afraid of us. They kill land defenders in the global south that are protecting their forests, protecting their territories because they are afraid of us. We can build the world we want and we can demand this one changes at the same time. None of this, all of this around us operates without us. So pull your money out of the banks, run for office, march in the streets, reduce your carbon footprint, sue the companies, stand in front of the machines. More of us need to stand in front of the machines. And also, when you're doing all of those things and finding how you can contribute, reconnect to the earth. Deeply, irrevocably, reconnect to the earth. Don't just retweet or share this or selfie. It's not good enough. Love the air loves you. Love the sun loves you. Love the water loves you. The answers are there, we just have to listen. The answers to this crisis are right in front of us. It is a life in balance, not a life of greed. It's a life of love, not of lying to ourselves as we traumatized animals in neat little packages, as we click on cell phones that are made by unpaid hands somewhere else that we can't see. We have to have a life of stewardship, not just of endless consumption. Stuff will never fill our hearts. Stuff will never make us feel complete. Do not romanticize my words either. I'm hoping that does not happen here today. Native peoples are just 5% of the global population. That's all we are across the earth. We hold 80% of the world's remaining biodiversity. 80%. We've figured some things out. And all of you used to know that we just have to remember it together. We all have the answer. So remember who you are. Don't fall into complacency or apathy. You're out here doing something that's so beautiful to see. You are the earth, and the earth is power. Build community, stand with love, stand brave, stand fearless, because we're in this together. So, ho, niguich.
On Wings, you are listening to excerpts from a Fire Drill Fridays rally, recorded in Washington, D.C., January 10, 2020, by Esther Iverum. Her one-hour program on the event is archived at onthegroundshow.org. Next, Jane Fonda introduces Cat Taylor.
Now I want to introduce a woman who's a friend of mine and who I respect deeply. Her name is Cat Taylor. She's an activist and a banker. Currently, she serves as co-founder and co-CEO of Beneficial State Bank, a community development financial institution whose mission is to bring beneficial banking to low-income communities in an economically and environmentally sustainable manner. I came to be a banker from a hunch my husband and I had that something was terribly wrong in the banking system. We started Beneficial State Bank to test and pursue that insight, which proved to be true. The banking system is enormously powerful, and it's not serving us or society. It's boring and complicated, yet important. It's time to make banking sexy as well. We are not separate from each other or from nature, and neither is banking. We think of banking as the original and most powerful form of crowdfunding. Not that a specific deposit funds a specific loan, but all deposits fund a lending practice that is very impactful. Banking was designed to do that. Within it, we pool our idle cash, call them deposits, and entrust them to the banks. We even add FDIC insurance to make sure that all our deposits are safe and that the banks can collect them readily and cheaply. Our deposits are their rocket fuel. Their lending is our world. And it really matters because the banks have grown to be the biggest sector in our economy, many of them well over $2 trillion in assets, and we lend them approximately $12 trillion in our deposits. The banks dwarf every other industry, including oil and gas. Moreover, the industry outspends every other industry 2-to-1 on political candidacies and lobbying. Of course, we created the banking system in hopes the banks would use our deposits to finance the world in which we actually wish to live. A new economy that is fully inclusive, racially and gender just, and environmentally restorative. Yet we get anything but that from the biggest and most influential banks. As you heard, just since the Paris Agreement in 2016, the leadership at Chase Bank alone has financed nearly $200 billion of fossil fuel development. But remember, these are our deposits. We don't have to tolerate the banks using them to destroy our planet. What is fossil fuel without fossil fuel finance?
Nothing.
And therein lies our solution. If we insist the big banks divest from fossil fuel lending, that action will shut down those industries quickly and orderly. We can also move our money to community banks and credit unions, free of implication in the fossil fuel disaster, and deprive the bigger banks of their rocket fuel. We can encourage regional banks to bring their lending practice into alignment with our values and get out of not only fossil fuels, but payday lending and private prisons. We can insist our regulators take into account the triple bottom line of social justice and environmental well-being alongside financial sustainability. In short, we can change the banking system for good. And in that delta, we can come 180 degrees from banks burning down the planet to banks building an advanced energy economy. We can move, as William McDonough says, not to 0% bad, but to 100% fabulous. Just as we will take back our government from the corporations who have bought it, we will take back banking because it belongs to all of us, even the unbanked.
We will turn the tide on climate change. We will turn gray skies of ash to blue skies and seas. We will take to the promised land of beneficial banking and stop climate change in its tracks. Well, I bet you wondered how we'd learn about the way we people burn. The atmosphere protecting planet Earth. Between the resident species, what's a human worth? If we can't rally round how we love our land, then the world has other plans. Finally, I heard it through the pipeline. Not much longer would you be mine. World, I heard it through the pipeline. That I'm just about to lose my time on the planet Earth. Thanks, you guys.
Kat Taylor, co-founder and co-CEO of Beneficial State Bank. This community development bank is based in Oakland, California, and has branches in Oregon and Washington states. Activist actor Susan Sarandon introduced Rebecca Adamson. Adamson used the acronym DAPL, that stands for Dakota Access Pipeline.
Rebecca Adamson is an American Cherokee business person and advocate. She's the former director, former president, and founder of First Nations Development Institute and the founder of First Peoples Worldwide. I want to start with something my mother used to tell me all the way through my teenage years. Rebecca Lee, if you don't change directions, you're going to end up where you're headed. Thank you, Mom. If we don't change directions, we are going to end up where we're headed. I've been an indigenous economist my whole life, working around getting principles of sustainability, balance, and harmony into this crazy, fierce, corrupt economic system. You were hearing about the indigenous peoples from the other speakers eloquently talking about us. I want to give you a couple statistics. Our territories span at least 20% of the Earth's land surface, and we have 80% of the biodiversity. However, as an economist, I have to look at the production of those lands. And today, as we stand here, 39% of all oil, gas, and mining is on indigenous territories. 46% of the future reserves are on indigenous territories. About 4 indigenous leaders a week are killed for defending their lands, defending indigenous rights, defending the environment. And it's not a coincidence. We need to come together and look at the market. I wanted to talk about the effect you're having in the financial market. I've been a social investor for about 30 years now. Social investing has turned into ESG investing, which is growing exponentially in the market. That means when I go to make a decision on my investments, I look at the environmental performance, I look at the social performance, and I look at the governance. They refer to you in financial markets as social risk. This, you could be civil disobedience or any number of things, but in the market, you are recognized as social risk. Yes. We know our government is corrupt. We know our leaders are spineless. You need to know your power is in the market and how to use that power. There are two drivers of social change to get the market where we want it to go. Social media and social risk. You. We all know social media has been our effective tool for how we come together. But I was asked by the Standing Rock Tribe to help lead the investment strategy under DAPL. And within the first 2 weeks of launching work against DAPL and the protest campaign getting off the ground, the tribe had over 1 million hits on their website within the first 2 weeks. Now, that doesn't even include the hits that were on Stop Fossil Fuel, Break Mega Banks, or even the independent standing DAPL website. 2 weeks, 1 million hits with people following everything that was going on. For our Day of Solidarity, we had 300 events across 50 states and into major international cities in Paris, in London, in Australia. Everywhere around the world, we were having solidarity events. We had 17 banks that were funding DAPL. They lost $4.4 billion in account closures. Jane was even there withdrawing her money at one time. That's significant to these guys. You're now in the market, and you're now social risk that could be quantified. We had three banks pull out and pull their loans. We also had Yahoo Finance 6 months into this. 2018 headline, I'm sorry, 2017 headline said, avoid investing in ETP, period. Get your money. The stock dropped 60% in value. A 60% drop in your value is material risk. ETP lost $7.5 billion at the DAPL site. $17.5 billion is material risk. It's when the SEC, Securities Exchange Commission, wants you to make a report on the risk to your investors. It's when the cost of capital starts to go up and your money starts to cost you more to destroy Mother Earth. Social risk, in the broadest sense of your protests, of your campaigns, is looking at between $20 and $30 million a week of social losses to the market when you shut down or protest against a site. 20 to 30 million a week. There's 25, as we talk, $25 billion in tied up or stopped mining operations as we talk. Those are lost assets. That's material. Material risk, all brought through by social risk. 73% of the risk that corporations face today is non-technical in term. That means you all. Non-technical risk is community protest, it's letter writing, it's campaigns, stopping that work, tying it up. Right now, non-technical risk represents the second highest risk in the financial market. The Indian understanding has its basis of spirituality, is recognition of the interconnectedness and the interdependency of all living things. For a people who know everyone is someone's father, mother, son, daughter, aunt, uncle, brother, sister, it is the whole that must survive, not merely a part of it. Protest, be social risk. Thank you. Thank you, Rebecca.
You've been listening to excerpts from the last of 14 environmental activism teach-ins and rallies held in Washington, D.C. under the title Fire Drill Fridays. Read and watch more at firedrillfridays.com/take-action. January 10th was the last of the Fire Drill Fridays scheduled for Washington, D.C., but the project is spreading out. Jane Fonda.
Last week I was on the Steve Colbert Show and I asked people who were interested in starting a Fire Drill Friday where they live, because we've heard this from so many people that have come here that they want to go home and start one where they live. 4,000 people responded. We're building an army, folks. What you can do is text Jane to 877-877 and we'll get back in touch with you.
Thanks to Esther Everim for sharing content from her community radio program On the Ground, Voices of Resistance from the Nation's Capital. On the Ground is based at WPFW-FM in Washington, D.C. The series is distributed through the Pacifica Radio Network and can also be found at ontheground.org. To hear Wings programs again, visit our website, wingsradio.org, or email wings@wings.org. We also have a news feed at facebook.com/wingsradio. Thanks to all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, author of The Gift in the Heart of Language, The Maternal Source of Meaning. And special thanks to the 23 people who contributed funds to digitize Wings cassettes from the 1995 Women's Conference in Wairo, China. You surpassed the goal, and the process is underway. The Wing Sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 10 a.m. Next up, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein.
The Corvallis Daytime Drop-In Center wouldn't exist without the local folks who volunteer their time to help the homeless. In episode 4 of the third season of Local Folks Podcast, we meet Tiana, Pete, and John to learn what they do, why they volunteer, and what they have learned about the homeless and themselves as a result. You can find Local Folks at kboo.fm. Go to audio, podcasts, and click on Local Folks.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Dost movie screening on Saturday, February 1st at 3:30 p.m. at Cinema 21 in Portland. Dost is a documentary about a young lady who uses psychedelic therapy to overcome her addiction to heroin. After the show, there will be a panel discussion featuring members of the cast and production. They will be taking questions from the audience. Again, that's the Dost movie screening on Saturday, February 1st at 3:30 p.m. at Cinema 21, 616 Northwest 21st Avenue in Portland. More information can be